Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, this week's Resurrection Sunday, Easter edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Good.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Same to you.
It being Easter, and we're concluding our study in the Gospel of Mark. That was our Lent study. Today we want to look at what Mark has to say in chapter 16 regarding the empty tomb, discovering Jesus being raised from the dead. So, let's jump right into it. If I had someone read chapter 16, verses 1 through 8a, there's two different parts of verse 8, but just through 8a, I'd certainly appreciate it.
I will.
Thank you.
The resurrection. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body very early on Sunday morning. Just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, "Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You see him there, you will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate them.
You're welcome.
Initial responses, questions.
What was the angel's name? That was in the tomb. And what was it doing there to begin with?
Well, first of all, Mark doesn't say it's an angel. It's a man wearing a white robe.
Okay, there you go.
Right? Yeah, tradition, even our orthodoxy, we take Matthew and Luke and John, and they start talking about angels, right? Messengers. So it's not wrong for you to presume that maybe it's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark doesn't tell us it's an angel. All right? It's a white man dressed, or it's a white man. It's a man dressed in white. who is giving them a message. Right? So it's not a far-fetched conclusion that perhaps it's an angel. Right? But he doesn't say that. Neither does he tell us the angel or the young man dressed in white's name. Right. However, there are biblical scholars who look at Mark's gospel much like the gospel of John. John does not name himself explicitly, but he does imply that he's the author by referring to himself as the disciple whom the Lord loved, right, and placed his head on his bosom and things like that. Some biblical scholars understand that that's what Mark does about himself. Meaning the young man carrying the jar when they're preparing the upper room. Right? The young man who runs away naked in the garden at the time of Jesus' arrest. And perhaps even the young man at the tomb. Right? Mark uses a reference to young man quite a few times. Scholars then raise the question, could Mark be referring to himself as a young man? If that's the case, then, Justin, the young man's name is John Mark. But Mark, John Mark, the author, does not give us the man's name. So.
Can I put something up? My initial reaction is tomb's empty. It's just it's a done deal. What happened, but it's to be continued. The story's moving on. It's hope for the future. Even to this day, the story's still being written. It doesn't stop there. That was the invitation of my great Oscar's son. You know, a lot of people think it was done. It was a done deal. Died for my sins. And, no, that was what Sam was. Now join me in this death.
We've been studying this whole Lenten season and intentionally looking at Mark's gospel because it is a 16 chapter journey with Jesus, right? And that we've learned that we're supposed to participate with him, right? We participate with him in the Last Supper, right? The Lord's Supper, communion, whatever we want to say. We participate with him on the journey, the way. We participate by becoming disciples and perfecting our discipleship. And so you're right, Zach. Here it is. We're invited to participate in the emptiness of the tomb. We're invited to participate in the raised Jesus. So what does that look like? What would that mean? Maybe we're now to carry on.
Carry on
what he started.
The new life, the new way, the new wave. It's a new life. You had to die on that cross with him. You were in that tomb. Now it's time to get up. It's a new life.
Which for Mark has been just that. Disciples are being, in a sense, disciplined, trained throughout his entire. That's why how many times we saw Mark says, he has Jesus saying, hey, you don't get it yet. You don't see, you don't hear, you don't understand. You're still not getting it. Peter still didn't get it. Jesus said, I'm going to die. In the garden, what? He's denied. He's betrayed. He's abandoned. Where is everybody? All right. So there is something about this emptiness is the last invitation to continue to advance what Jesus launched. Right? And his message was the kingdom of God. Yeah, good. That's a good insight.
Seems like this culmination of everything here in this, like as I read this, my initial action-reaction thing, you know, they're dealing with the mechanics of death. Somebody dies, we're going to get some spices. We're going to get some snack trays for a wake. We're doing the mechanics of death. And then they start thinking about, well, wait, the stone. Who's going to roll the stone away? They show up, the stone's already rolled away. And then they freak. Don't be alarmed. And then you know, this kind of trembling and bewildered, or left with this, I don't know, like they expect certain things out of death, and God flips those, the resurrection flips those whole expectations around to the empty tomb. Don't be afraid. That presence of fear, that presence of fear in this new this new season, but to go out from it and to kind of keep one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever heard was to do things. I said, I'm scared to do this, and they told me do it scared. I don't know. What's the military say? Stay frosty. Keep on edge. I just see this whole flip of it and this that I never really looked at before. You know, you're thinking about the real life implications of something. You're gonna bury this person, you gotta get this. Oh, the stone's heavy, the work's already done. God's kind of turned this pocket inside out. You know, it gives me rings of, oh, death, where is your sting? In Paul's letters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's where Paul's gonna get the. What do you think about the whole terror part, or being afraid? Well, let me put it to you this way. When we come to, when you came to Neighbors of Hope, we're seeking help. for whatever our situation is. Homelessness, addiction, etc. Right? And we receive some help. But along with that help is also this invitation to life transformation. And so we're going to learn to give up our addiction, which means now we have to live a new life of sobriety, to use that analogy. Does sobriety create fear? Does it make you nervous? All right?
Jared, here is.
Yeah, so the same type of thing, does new life, life that we've never lived before, kind of scare us a little bit?
The chair, like, for, just want to prepare with this. All this teaching, we weren't still fully getting it. Like, yeah, you come to this house, and then really said, something, this is real. I think that's what the chair was like. Oh, he was, oh, okay, here we go. Here comes the real work now. It was really what he was saying. He was, you know, it was just kind of, that's to be continued, but it was kind of like, all right, okay. It's like when you come here for this year, like, it hits you as well, like, oh, this crap's real. This is something, this isn't going to be easy. It's hard. You get scared, fearful. You know, you start seeing little successes and little wins. It's like, oh, I'm not used to this. Whole different way of moving, talking, and treating people. It's just like the opposite of how it's been for all the years. Yeah, it's scary. But then, you know, it's a sense of that it's going to be, it's not going to be easy.
Well, okay, a couple of things.
That's what they're fearful of.
I think you're absolutely right.
Death coming ahead. We got all these things coming at us now. This is real. Tomb's empty.
Yeah, a couple things. I agree with you completely, 100%. The first thing, before we went on the air, we talked about, well, you know, wouldn't it have been easy, right? Wouldn't it have been very convenient if we got to that and the stones not roll away, right? Wouldn't it be very convenient for us, right, to go back to our old life because we cannot mourn properly, the stone's still there. Or if the stone's rolled away and he's still there, right? I mean, okay, this guy we thought was a Messiah just turned out being another, you know, dead man from Nazareth, right? So we can go back, you know, wrong choice on our part, we'll just go back the way we live, right? I think what you're also saying is we sometimes on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate the raised, the good stuff, and we kind of miss the invitation to the death part that creates fear, which may explain why we've kind of made Jesus a Christ of convenience. If I just accentuate the good stuff, I don't necessarily have to change, and because if I don't change, I don't have to be afraid. But if I'm really accepting Jesus and everything that he stands for and the newness that comes out of the resurrection, just what you said, what we discover here at Neighbors of Hope, that's going to challenge me. That's going to teach me a new way of life. There's those two things. And then one other, another thing I'd like to elaborate on is, yeah, we've got to do this now. Right? It is to be continued, and guess what? He left it to us to do. And yes, that's going to challenge us, and so it challenges these women, right? As they depart. Oh, well, we could pretend, we could go back and kind of fabricate some other story.
Well, like you always say too, like there's no turn back. Now we're not exempt. Now we know, like now they know, there's no turn back. Well, now it's like, much you have to do it. And that obedience and that commitment and no indecisiveness, that's where the growth comes from. You've got to stick with it. I see a lot of guys that are all over the place, but now they know they're not exempt. Now it's like we have to do this. There's nothing else.
A couple things, because I think you're absolutely right. Plenty of people, either within our ministry, other ministries, organizations, whatever, will take the fearless route. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your Easter Sunday reflections on this edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope and neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.